This is CliffCentral.com.
Grant, I need to make a critical business decision. We've been expanding rapidly, and my gut feel tells me that we should be investing for growth. But I need to put some financial science behind that gut feel of mine.
Don't you have a financial manager or director that can help you with that?
But isn't that rather expensive?
It doesn't have to be. Why don't you contact the finance team? They're a consultancy that can provide you with a part-time financial manager or director at a fraction of the cost of a full-time resource.
Go to thefinanceteam.co.za.
Welcome to our Business Masterclass. I'm Richard Angus, CEO of the Finance Team, your part-time financial executive solution. Joining me in studio today as part of our panel is Safia Belay of New Habits, Making Shift It Happen.
How's it, Richard?
Nice to have you with us, as always.
Thank you.
Last week, we spoke to Miles Thess on the subject of cultivating innovators. How can South Africa produce a nation of original thinkers? Great podcast. If you haven't had the opportunity yet, go to our website and download that. Today's theme is one that I think keeps most of us awake at night, or maybe concerned about what's in our inbox, because we're going to be talking about cyber attacks and what every business should know about that. Joining us in studio is our guest, Mason Meheri, Solutions Director at Law Trust. Mason, thank you for joining us.
How are you doing, guys?
And also, welcome back to the studio. You've been with us before. So if I have a look at, and I picked up this article that I saw where there was a statement that said, according to the UN's latest Global Cybersecurity Index, we rank as South Africa at 58th out of 165 countries when it comes to cybersecurity. And I looked at that and I went, ooh, Anna, that's not too great. Puts us behind places like Mauritius, Rwanda, Kenya, Nigeria, Uganda. So that was quite a sobering thought as I looked at those numbers. But Mason, I mean, when we talk about cybersecurity, and I guess the thing that's on everybody's minds right now is that beloved email that sits in your inbox. Somebody somewhere in your organization opens it, and before long you find all your files on your various servers being renamed with some crazy renaming convention. I don't even know what all of them are. And you find yourself being ransomed. And I think the attacks that happened in May, I know they started in the Ukraine and then kind of started spreading out globally from there, I guess heightened this whole question in everybody's minds as to, you know, are we secure? I think there's been kind of this seems to be a topic that kind of comes and goes, and some people seem to think that, you know, the 20-year-old version of antivirus is all that they need, and they're sorted. But then you have one of these massive events, and everybody realizes just how vulnerable they are. So talk to us a little about where you think we are, and give us some insights into what you see in the industry.
Well, I think the first thing is it's a fascinating field of study, this, you know, because it involves money, it involves human psychology, it involves tech, which is quite exciting, but it's used in a different way. So I think the first part is we've got to talk about why is this happening now all of a sudden? Mm-hmm. And the answer to that is that every business has become a digital business now. You know, whether you are melting steel or you are really in IT, you're a digital business.
Yeah.
I have lots of people sometimes denying that to me. And the answer is turn off your servers for a day and see where your business is. You know, and every business has gone digital. So that's the first thing.
So just on that, I mean, I always recall back in the day, you know, people would say, well, if I'm down for X amount of time, that, you know, I can be down for X number of hours before I start feeling the pain. And, you know, I need to be able to recover my business, you know, I remember people talking about, you know, 24 hours, 48 hours, whatever. I mean, my experience now, I mean, I just had it just before I came here, the Wi-Fi went down at the office and I had everybody ranting and raving. And in fact, the one guy I overhear him talking to the facilities guy and saying, the Wi-Fi has been down for half an hour. This is unacceptable. And I think we have moved from that 24-hour, 48-hour type of scenario to if it's not instantly available, we have a problem. We're, you know, that's now the norm. So I think, to your point, this has shifted where all businesses are.
And business has become so competitive, you know, where it used to be that one phone call you might miss, which could have been that deal. Now it's that email, it could be a text, it could be a WhatsApp message, because that's how people are communicating now. So we've become so dependent on this. Similarly, the access, you know, we like in business, we talk about markets that you can look at. So if you're a criminal, that market has just got absolutely massive. You know, in the past year now, we've heard, and it's unofficial commentary, but the first $1 billion thefts have occurred out of the international banking systems. And why that's possible and why it's possible to keep it quiet is because over a period of time, you can harvest intelligence. And when you take the money, you take a few cents from every account. You know, so the market for crime has got so much bigger. There's a very attractive, lucrative market out there to target. You know, and that's why we are starting to hear more and more about these things. I think a quick comment on our industry, though, and that's the IT industry, and that's what makes it quite difficult, is the IT industry has got a nasty habit of inventing acronyms for new things. And that's a pity, because, and I don't like it, you know, I prefer calling the thing what it is. But unfortunately, the way you sell is when you think up something new, you've got to make like it's never been done before. You know, but if you look at what's happened in computer crime, we started off and we had these phishing attacks. Now, it was a disservice to humanity to call it a phishing attack. What it should have been called is a forgery of a business's email, which led to a theft of their money. Those are crime words. You know, everybody would have understood this is serious. We've got to do something about this. Now it sounds like it's a 10-year-old playing with his computer at home that's made this cute little phishing thing. Now, years down the line, we are sitting in a situation where 90% of the successful attacks are phishing attacks. You know,
Well, I must tell you, I think we have become so used to how the world operates that we don't even think about what we're doing and what we're giving out. I mean, I had a call the other evening, and the person on the other end of the line said, "Hi, I'm calling from Telkom. I just need to verify one or two things with you. Your name," and he gave me my name, and your business, and he gave me the business details, and your cell number. Obviously, I mean, he's calling me on my cell. I would hope you know my cell number. And then he made the fatal error, and he said, "And I just want to confirm your office number." And I'm going, "Well, hold on a second. We have a 0861 golden number from Telkom. But if you're calling me, you should know that about me. And if you are who you say you are, you don't need me to be confirming anything more than this." So I immediately retreated into that safe space of saying, "Well, actually, you should have this detail on your master data. So I'm not giving you anything. You give me what you've got from here on out in this conversation." Yeah. I mean, I just confirmed stuff up to that point anyway. I said, "No, I'm not giving you the numbers. You give me my numbers that are on your master data, and I'll confirm or tell you it's wrong."
Yeah.
And at that point, the conversation became quite jolted and uncomfortable, and the person couldn't give me back any information at that point. And suddenly the line went dead. And I was like, okay, that was interesting.
But now you've got to the heart of the matter. Now you've got to the heart of the matter is that the business landscape has changed. In fact, there's no more digital strategy or anything like that. It is just how you do business. So you have to be savvy. Just like you used to be savvy in the real physical world when you're dealing, you know, you're suspicious of some things, you're wary of some things, you covered yourself in other areas. It's the same thing. In fact, I'll go so far as to say there's not even any new crimes. You know, all these things we are talking about are exactly the crimes that are happening in the physical world. It's just moved to a new market as well. You know, so it's theft. We have to make sometimes special laws, because it's quite difficult in traditional descriptions to say, well, how can something be stolen if it's still there? And that is why very often in the attorney field, guys that are interested in, or girls that are interested in IP law, are well suited to IT, because it's an intangible. But actually, these same things are happening. You know, there's theft. There's sabotage. You know, a denial of service attack or a distributed denial of service attack. That does not matter. What somebody is doing is they're trying to sabotage your business so that you can't operate, you know, and you mistreat it as seriously as that. That's actually what's happening. We sit in a position where there's not many discussions actually happening about this. So to take that thought of being savvy further, You have to have discussions about your business today. What's important to you, what's not important to you, what information is important to you, what's not, what communication mechanisms, how have you changed? No one's using faxes anymore, they've gone to email. So now, let's talk about these things. Let's talk about the casual use of email. It's not just hackers that we're worried about. We're also worried about accidental disclosure of personal information, your customer's information that somebody very casually or accidentally emails out.
Yeah.
And there will be penalties for these things, as there should be. You know, you should be savvy. You should be looking after your business as it runs in today's world.
Now, one of the things that, you know, I think the world has fundamentally moved in terms of how things are structured from a business perspective. And one of the things that's, or two of the elements that have kind of really come to the fore is the whole principle of using cloud-based infrastructures. Okay, now, when you go into that cloud world, you know, the first reaction of many people at the time was, whoa, you know, watch security. Oh, this is going to be a huge drama, you know, big issue. And I think, you know, we've kind of moved past that in the majority of cases. But I think the reality is that by being on cloud-based environments, okay, things like password security and naming conventions and, you know, things like this actually become so much more important in your business. And you know just how you generate your passwords, for example, and things like that, where you store your passwords, those sort of things, just now come to the fore. And they were always there, and it was always an issue, but now that it's out there on the great wide world of the web and distributed data centers and the likes, now all of a sudden you can't just have your people have to be in your building to access your server, and pretty much you can cut the umbilical to the outside world and you were okay. Now anybody anywhere could be getting onto your systems if they have access to this type of information. I mean, what do you see out there happening with things like cloud-based technology? I mean, is this making people more vulnerable, or are they just now becoming a little bit more aware? I mean, the reality, everybody warns very carefully that, you know, when you're in the cloud, you've got to make sure you take the relevant precautions and do things properly. So are people actually as aware as they should be, and are they doing the right thing, or do they become lazy?
I want to approach it from a few different angles. You know, the first one is if you're a business, you've got certain responsibilities to get the basics right. So the cloud isn't a thing. You know, it's still somebody's data center, which you are putting your applications in somebody's data center. And there are various ways of doing this. In some of them, you'll be using them, let's call it machinery, but you are responsible for putting your applications there. And where some of the basics come in, and that's some of the vulnerabilities that are exploited by, let's talk about malware, for example, like the WannaCry or something like that.
Okay, let's just quickly define a term. So when you say malware, what is malware?
So malicious kinds of software.
Okay.
There's been a few of them in the news lately. WannaCry is an example of what they call ransomware. It's where somebody is tricked into running this malicious software on their machine. It looks for known exploits, and that was actually the point I wanted to get to, is very often what is targeted is a weakness in software that's already out there. So 10 to 1, the manufacturer of the software has already found this. They've got security researchers, or there are other security researchers that said, hey, there's a problem, there's an exploit that can be run on this piece of software, and they'll come out with a patch. So that patch is an update to the software that naturally businesses don't always want to run, which is a funny thing for me to say. But the mindset is often, if it's not broken, don't fix it. If you've got a high volume application, a banking application, some sort of fintech that's running, and it works, by introducing an update to the software, you can create an instability. But the answer is, you have to do these updates. You have to update, you have to test your software, because if you can remove those vulnerabilities, it takes away 99% of the headache, you know, and that's what's one of the basics that we have to get right.
Okay, so business basic, make sure that you've got all your updates on all of your software is actually up to date and running.
right to a personal level on your phone. You know, you've got to run these updates because you've got to run the updates on your laptop. You know, very often it's security fixes that are actually happening.
Yes, Windows updating 4,000 of...
That's it.
Don't you just love that message just when you're rushing to leave the office for something? And it says, don't close down your machine. Windows is updating 4,000 updates.
It's necessary housekeeping. You know, yeah, it just has to be.
So, Mason, when you look at the world that we live in, social media, there's just information coming at you from all different directions, and you're constantly clicking. And obviously, the more frequently you're clicking, the more mindless you become about it.
Oh, that's the problem.
So how do I know, as an ordinary mortal human being who doesn't know a thing about IT beyond how to use it, it's with, like my car, I know how to start it, but if something goes wrong, I'm clueless, right? How do I know what is good clicking and what is not good clicking? I'm so indifferent to it.
You know, and that was one of the things, you know, I can't come back to a better answer, is that you have to be a little bit savvy and you have to educate yourself to a certain extent. You know, some of them are obvious. You know, there's probably not going to be a Nigerian prince that's really going to leave you $1 billion, you know.
So, you know what? I know you've been dreaming about those emails in your inbox, but I'd say don't click those.
So for me, it's very interesting because this morning I got an email with the email content referencing members of my family with names of my family in the email.
And it's so easy to harvest this information because we are out there. We're in LinkedIn. Yeah. Mm. We put a huge amount of information there, and it's beneficial for business. You know, that's how we market ourselves. Wow. It's how we market our businesses. So information is out there. There's sites out there that are busy archiving the internet. You can literally go to a website and you can see what did that website look like 10 years ago if they had a website. So there's a lot of information out there. You know, so you've got to start educating yourself where you can by reading. But if we bring it back to the businesses, though, it's largely the business's responsibility to try and put some automated protections in for people. Mm. You know, and it's not always an easy job, you know, but at least from a business perspective, you can make sure your systems are patched. You can try and move away from passwords. It's easier said than done. But things like second factor authentication, something else that you use to log into the site except for a password.
Okay. Like a digi thing.
It's important, yeah, those keys. Your phone is a fantastic mechanism. People love their phones. They carry them around with them the whole time. Mm. So even if you're working on your laptop, your phone can prompt you and say, do you want to log into the site? Now, those are things that companies can implement.
Mm. Yeah.
At Law Trust, we're quite focused now on areas of legislation and potentially compromise, and email is one of those. So what we have found is that we can encrypt the emails, or we can put a mechanism in place, but as soon as we have a button that relies on the individual remembering that they've got to think, is this Poppy-related information, click it, then we failed. So we actually don't want the users to make those decisions. What we would rather do is we'll have a dictionary, which we keep on working on, about Poppy-related words, personal information, a combination or like this, maybe an ID number or something. And then we'll automatically scan for those words, and we'll automatically go and encrypt that information, you know. So encryption is one of those tools that works very well if you can blend it with automation, you know, and that's one of the keys to success. Come back to the malware examples, you know. If I think the concern is that your files might be ransomed and you might have to pay them back. But actually what should be happening is you should have backups. It's the good housekeeping basics, you know. A business should have backups of the information. What's more scary is, what if that malware, that malicious software, can actually steal the information and not tell you? If all your data is locked, it's in your face. You know, you have been compromised. You've got to do something about it. But what if it's compromised your system and it's stolen the data? And that is where techniques like encrypting the information is important. At least then you know what they've stolen is dead to them. You might not be in breach of Poppy or the new Cybersecurity Act, which is coming, or it's a bill at the moment, you know. But you've got to treat these things responsibly. You know, so there's technologies out there that you can use. You've got to look after your identity, strong authentication, or at least good password rules. You know, what is a good password? What's a bad password? Your organization should know. A very good way of making passwords is to string a few words together. It's in fact far better than trying to put at signs and all those things in your password. So a couple of words, it's a sentence that you'll remember, makes for a very strong password. You should educate people to have different passwords for different zones of their life. Remember when that Ashley Madison breach occurred? Remember that was in the press, I don't know how many, was it a year ago or 2 years ago or whatever? Everybody was morally outraged about what happened. The fact that such a website actually exists. That wasn't what concerned us. You know, what concerned us was people went in there and they signed up with their work email addresses. And what do you do when you sign up with your work email address? You tend to one use your work password. So in one shot, when they released all that identity information of those people who should not have been on that site in the first place, for many organizations, they had people's usernames and effectively their passwords of their business systems released at the same time. Whoa. Now that is where no one thought about that. There's a different angle to it, you know. So that's a serious thing. So businesses should definitely introduce strong authentication. Then you can stop accidents like that from compromising your business. But also you should educate people to have a few different passwords if they can. Don't make your own single sign-on system. Choose good passwords for your most sensitive transactions, definitely financial. Be aware that everything you're putting out there is out there forever. You know, that information about you, people may harvest that and they might know things about you, you know, so you got to be savvy about that.
And I mean, as a business owner, so I mean, I'm hearing some stuff that I need to do as a business owner.
I'll talk to you about that afterwards.
I'm also hearing some things that my employees have to do. Where's the line between, let's call it employer responsibility and employee responsibility? Because the reality is the employee is the one that gets the email that when they click, we have a problem.
Yeah.
But I, as the employer, should be putting up, as you say, the gates and the electronic filters to stop that email from arriving in the first place. I mean, where's that line of accountability and how do you – and I guess my point would be, how do you – shift the challenge away from both parties, I guess, into, let's call it, neutral solution territory?
I think the responsibility is quite clear, and that lies, unfortunately, mostly with the party that's going to lose something. You know, if you have a devastating attack that happens on your systems, you lose information, you go out of business, it doesn't help that you can blame somebody after that. You know, that's too late. The horse is bolted.
Yeah.
So what you need to do is, as far as possible as a business, make sure that you've got good basics in place. That's the first thing. You're patching your systems, you're backing up your systems, you've got disaster recovery, you've got business continuity in mind. You know, again, it's a reality. If you had a physical business manufacturing things, you'd have a fire suppression system. You need to have endpoint protection. You need to do the antivirus. You need to do all the protection things that you possibly can. And you've got to understand the human behavior. The human behavior still is, you can warn people about phishing attacks, but if you spark the right thought, for example, an email coming from a bank might be suspicious and people won't click on that attachment. An email that looks like it's coming from SARS, for example, about your tax refund, most people are going to click that because you want to. You know, it's the psychology that's coming to play. You want to. You want that money back from them, you know?
You think they should give you money back even if you're not due a refund.
You want to believe it.
Tax.
Even if you're not registered for tax, you know? You still might want a refund. Yeah, exactly.
So again, we're understanding the communication systems we use now. If you're using email for business, you've got to have some email protection. You've got compliance initiatives that are coming in, you know, where the directors of businesses are responsible for information security. That's quite clear. So you've got to put protection in your email. You've got to worry about accidents, your staff accidentally sending out something that they shouldn't. You've got to worry about identity in your organization.
Yeah.
If you have got strong authentication, if you're identifying your website well to the outside world, you're slightly better off. You know, it's a layer defense and you've got to do what you can. You can't do everything, but you've got to do what you can. And you make yourself a slightly more difficult target than the next company next door.
Yeah,
you know, that's a pragmatic approach.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's a little bit like, you know, back in the day when people would say, you know, what's more important, physical security or electronic security for your, you know, your security of your business? And it's like, well, it's actually a combination of both. You want to lock the door, put up, you know, a security gate and have an alarm system with armed response and possibly consider a guard. You know, you've got all the bits and pieces. One of those on their own isn't necessarily going to stop somebody stealing from you.
Yeah.
But the combination makes it improbable that somebody will successfully execute, you know, a theft.
And I think that, I mean, we've been talking a lot about the preventative mechanisms now and a bit of the thrill around this. But there's also great opportunities going forward. You know, you mentioned the cloud already. I mean, that is a fantastic opportunity for South African businesses. Now we don't have to have these massive data centers that belong to us. We can rent them anywhere in the world where we need to go work, which is great. We've got the opportunity of electronic signatures. You know, so the fact that these security mechanisms can be applied to electronic signatures so that you can make your business faster in a safe way. You know, that's a very exciting thing. If you look at the customer onboarding process, signing up customers, signing up suppliers, we all know that has to be a purely electronic process. Yet quite often we are working in a Word document. We'll print it out, get everybody to sign it, and then scan it back in. You know, that doesn't make sense. You've got technologies like digital signatures that are out there. You know, that means you can get somebody to very quickly sign up for a new account, but still make it totally secure and totally legal. You know, that's a great opportunity.
What I'm always fascinated by is when you try and do something like that, where, you know, where you're using an electronic signature or something, and you've got a document that's arrived with you from a bank or somewhere else, and you're trying to use technology, and you find they, for example, I've had this often, they've locked down the document, so you can't sign electronically. And I'm like, you sent me an electronic document. You want my signature. I can put it on here electronically, but you've just made it impossible for me to do this by locking the document the way you have. Like, that just doesn't seem right.
But that's because it needs the right system to do the signature. Yeah, you know?
Exactly.
So one thing that I must just add on is electronic signature should not be the picture of your signature which you paste in.
Yeah, I know.
It's actually that act of acceptance that has to be caught by a system. You need a timestamp.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it's too easy to fake these things. Set the clock in your machine forwards, backwards.
Yeah,
you need a proper system. So secure electronic signatures, definitely the way to go.
Yeah.
So I do get the sense, though, that, I mean, big business in South Africa, I don't know elsewhere, but I get the sense that big business has taken the protection part very seriously, and it's almost like they're disenabling business and making more difficult for the consumer to do things. Is that going to change soon? And so I really think about the big fintech companies where everything are so compliance driven and you've got to do things in such a procedural way that it becomes annoying to do things with them. Is there any light at the end of the tunnel?
I think there's a lot of light at the end of the tunnel there, but you are right. You know, they're highly compliance driven industries because they have to have checks and balances, have to be safe. So any industry type change is a big thing. But we'll definitely be seeing across most of the financial services providers the use of secure electronic signatures. Everybody's looking at more efficient onboarding processes. You know, how can you make the pain of a FICA type process easier? We are getting.
I can't change bank because it's too hard. It's too difficult because of FICA.
But it's important that they're working on these things. You know, we are getting asked more and more for the use of biometrics on the mobile devices. So obviously the fingerprint reader on there, we can't access the fingerprint, so you can't match that against Home Affairs. But you can, for example, take a photo of the person from a video stream. We don't want you to take your own selfie, but the camera can actually see, and through software we can say when it's a good photo, we'll take the photo. That can then be matched to a photo of your ID book or your passport. You know, so you can start doing these things which bring some level of automation, which doesn't rely on people remembering to do that. You know, but it's important because your identity, you know, that's the start of any business relationship, is you've got to identify parties.
Know who you're dealing with.
Exactly. You've got to know your customer. That's the KYC thing. You've got to know your customer, know your employees, know your suppliers. You know, so I'm quite a fan of automation, you know, because that makes... It takes a little bit of the burden of remembering from staff members, you know, and I think you're going to see a lot more of these technologies being used, not just in Facebook.
Mason, it's been great chatting to you. You can't believe all the issues that one has to think of and consider in this space. That was our guest, Mason Meheri. Next up is our business conversation. Stay with us.
This is CliffCentral.com.